The second page, that more or less talks about, well, the first page talks about Stanley
yeah,
and
yeah.
then the second page, just a few memories of your dad.
Oh, thank you. That's lovely.
The being 3 years younger is like somebody in grade 12 and grade 9.
Yeah.
But because of the music interest, we were, well, we were sort of keen together and then I think at that time the school orchestra had started and I played the cello, sort of, but I think your dad played it properly.
He enjoyed the cello. It's one of our family stories that he would buy and sell cellos quite regularly. when he could afford it, he'd buy a cello, and then the children came along and needed school things and he needed cash, so he'd sell a cello. And so then when he saved enough money, he'd buy another one. That happened a few times through our growing up, I think. But we now have a little grandson who's 6. His name's Stanley, and he's learning the cello. So I'm sure my father would be really pleased to see him. He's
got a natural skill.
Yes, he's doing very well.
Good.
And he's the in the family. Our son Timothy married a Chinese Malay girl, and so he's got a bit of Chinese blood in his appearance. But he's a lovely little boy, and so he's playing the cello.
I see. They're the ones from Borneo, is it?
Yes. Yeah.
I think I met them.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you like something to eat?
Yes. Oh, I'll just have that. Yeah. Thank you.
Here's a plate.
Oh, yes. And the other thing that interested me, I also found this letter from your mother. Grace was your mother, right?
Yes.
To my mother, when she was in 39, so she was only young, but it replying, I think, looks like my mother attached some comments to a letter that Doss must have written to your mother. So Frank and Doss must have known your mother quite well. I'm a bit hazy on all that. Did your folk went to Unley Assembly?
On furlough. You see, the Pascos, they were all in Kersbrook, the Kersbrook Church of Christ. And then as the girls married off, and there was 5 girls, I think, and a son, and Alma, Effie, Hilda, and Ruth, not so much to start with, but towards the end of her life, and they came along to the Unley meeting. They were actually, some of them were sort of foundation members of Unley, because people don't sort of, I think, really understand that at that time liberalism had come into the church fellowship here. The Methodists had been very, very active evangelically, but then they gave up. And you probably know something of that, but when I was went to Unley High School, did Leaving Honours there, they were teaching that this teaching about the cross and that sort of thing was a butcher's religion. And a lot of them, they gave up, really, they gave up the fundamental things of the Bible. So I can still remember down at the Grange Methodist Church there, the pastor of the church, a lovely Christian man, but he just, one Sunday morning, he just wept. The church could have its bridge night and its, you know, other church games, but they couldn't have a prayer meeting, and so on. Now those were the times when there were some good Baptist churches. The what's the one you go to?
Arnley Park Baptist.
Well, yes, Arnley Park. That was the sort of key Baptist church there. And very fine. And there were some other, like the Birdside Christian Church, which was the but the Baptist movement had linked with the Congregational, and they had a Bible school training centre, and it was largely liberal culture. Things changed a lot later, but they were sort of difficult times.
So you was Grace a Pascoe? So you mentioned the Pascoes. Yes. So she was one of those sisters, was she?
The Pascoe girls and their husbands, largely, mostly those who are in the city came along to the Annual Assembly, and oh, they were bright. But, that was the Goodens, the Collivers, and the Charnocks and so on.
And that's where my other grandparents, Frank and Doss, because they were foundation members there too. So that's where that connection comes.
Frank was a little bit reserved.
Yes, he was.
He was a little bit frightened of being too public.
Yes.
Excellent man, lovely Christian.
Yes, I remember them quite well, but yes, he didn't say much.
Yes, in 39, that was, I think that Mother was on her way back. No, not then. I can't remember, April.
It sounds like they're on the boat going back after furlough.
Right. If you did 7 years in those days, you had a year's furlough. If you did 8 years, you had 13 months. They added a month a year after that. The father was not the kind, he was very interested in furloughs. When he went back in 1904, he didn't come home until 18, so he had 14 years out there without coming back. And then he resented it. Well, your uncle's, your grandpa Stan, had already gone then.
Yes, that sounds like possibly recently. I should have checked the dates. I've got them on my computer.
It must have been about 38, 39. Mm. Yes. I've just written a few little things that I can remember, recall the sort of activities and the fun we had.
Mm.
They had five music rooms in the boys' school. So that you could get five people doing their practice at the same time. They weren't all as diligent as your dad was. But you could do overtime when others were not supposed to be there. But your dad and I had a lot in common in that area, so we saw one another down that part of the school.
About how many students were there in the school?
There were pretty well 100 boys, 100 girls, and about 150 in the first four grades in the prep school. They only took it to grade 4, not to grade 6, and then they came up. Was it lower 5, upper 5? I think they must have had some others. I just can't remember too well.
But was the boys' school and girls' school, they were separate, you had separate classes?
Separate.
Yeah.
The compound was quite a big area. Hudson Taylor had been up there for a holiday, I think it was, because it was a very good climb up there. And right on the seashore. Pretty cold in the winter, but that also was good, because we had all the fun in the world. We'd have snow, ice skating, and tobogganing, and things like that. So we had plenty of fun. And then the summertime, it was warm enough to enjoy the warm waters for swimming, and we had hills behind for climbing, and tracks for the marathon runs. As well as the sports ground in the school itself, so we played a little bit of cricket in the autumn term, the winter term, and then went to football, soccer. Then to hockey, and then athletics, and then we had the swimming, boating, as well as swimming. So it was those facilities, they were good.
So did you play just competitions within the school, or were there other teams in the area, like a hockey team, or did you play another school? Was there other schools?
No, it was mostly in the school.
Yeah.
The British Navy had their base at Weyhow Way. That was about 50 miles away, on the point of the Shandong Peninsula. And if their boats came up, they would play. They would play a Chinese team. So you'd have a fairly fierce competition there.
Yes.
So it was rather fun. It would only be one or two of the boys, but sometimes they'd have the foreign community, the business community, and the high school, the senior boys would join together to make a team.
That's all interesting. I don't want to keep you too long, and I need to move on myself. But can I just run two names by you, see if you recognise these? There's reference to Stan Eaton marrying Bertha Gamble. Obviously I knew, and they presented A.W. Bowen with a silver chicken pepper shaker from the Boxer Rebellion. Sounds like Stan gave to A.W. Bowen, B-O-W-E-N, silver chicken pepper shaker. It was just a note on a bit of paper. And I just wondered... I have no idea what all that means.
One of the Bowens was in the St. Peter's area. It wasn't St. Peter's, it was starts with an H, was it? A Baptist church there.
He was
one of the leaders, I think, of the evangelical movement then.
Okay, because that was in an envelope from an M. Lambden of Kensington Gardens.
And that was another...
I don't know them at all.
No.
So there were Bowens here in Adelaide. Were they associated with the... CIM? Oh.
The evangelical movement was pretty small. There's for a city of churches, yes, they could get 1,000 people together for the for special meetings in the town hall. We had Oswald Smith and Evan Evans and Reginald Wallace and people like that who came, and they would pretty well fill up the town hall. Then you'd go along to the different evangelical missionary meetings, and the people who were at the African Inland Mission, you'd meet them again at the China Mission. You go down the alphabet, the Egyptian General Mission, and so on. It was always the same group.
Ah, right.
They were interested. Yeah. It was just a bit of fun. There's a little bit of history we don't brag about, but when Oswald Smith came out, he introduced the hymn, "He Lives, He Lives." I know, I say He Lives today. At the town hall, I think I was playing at that time. There was another young man who was a little bit older, a bit more experienced. He was a Trudinger, Ron Trudinger. They were Presbyterian folk from Kensington area. They were stalwarts in the evangelical movement. I don't know whether you knew of the Edgars.
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
There was a Dr. Oscar Edgar. He was one of the Red Soldier Brook during the war, but he, after the, he came back, he did the medical course. And, but I was away for all that. I'd known him before. He was a class ahead of me at school. His father was a pioneer worker in Tibet. Interesting lot of people.
Well, Alan Bailey's son's now doing a lot of work in Tibet. It's quite challenging work there, I understand.